You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Well, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. We are doing a series. If you are new, we're doing a series called The Kingdom of Heaven is a Party. Who doesn't like a party, right? Some introverts are like, I don't like a party. But I mean, some introverts I know actually like a party, but from a distance. They like to be in the room, but not necessarily, you know. And then I need a, you know, they need a reprieve from the party sometimes. But who doesn't like a good party? The kingdom of heaven is a party. And so we're looking at parties in the New Testament. In the Bible, there's actually parties in the New Testament. Quick recap, Jesus was either going to a party, starting a party, or leaving a party. If you take parties out of the New Testament, there is not a lot of content there because a lot of things happened in parties in the New Testament, not in church settings like this. A lot of it happened in parties. And once again, Jesus finds himself at a party where everyone thinks he shouldn't be. That happened a lot. Everyone thought that Jesus should not be hanging out with these people in this party, but he was. He is never where people think he should be. He was always where people thought he shouldn't be. And he's just getting done telling folks at this party that are sort of jockeying for position, right? This is Jesus the Messiah. People are kind of questioning, trying to figure him out. How can I be on his team? Or how can I have a place in his sort of entourage? Or how can I get mine is what they're thinking. They're trying to jockey for position, or they're trying to prove that he's not the real deal. And they're trying to figure out where that is. And Jesus just gets done telling them that the right position is the last position. And he does that through a couple things. And we talked about it last week. We talked about we invite the unseen, the unheard, the poor, and we give them the place of honor. And then he says we need to go out and we need to compel people. We need to invite the last person you would think of, the one in your head right now that you would never want to invite to church, right? We need to go after those people and invite them to the party, into the kingdom. And then this all sort of sets the tone for what's about to happen next. We're looking at Luke 15, in case some of you are sitting there going, where are we talking about this in the Bible? Luke 15 is what we're looking at today. And that what happened last week sets up, it's still the same party. Jesus is still at the same party. And he's still talking. But things are starting to shift and change a little bit in this party. Okay, so we're going to pick up at Luke 15, and it says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So, stop there for a second. Interesting little note. This is the same party we talked about last week. The difference is Jesus pointed some things out to those religious right leaders, the Pharisees, right, that thought that they had it all together, pointed some things out to them, and they're sort of shifted away in the room a little bit, and they're murmuring to each other, like, you believe this guy? This guy, he's like eating with sinners now. And all this other stuff, you believe this? And now what's happening is you had these sort of tax collectors and the sinners, and they are all engaged in what Jesus is doing. They are sitting there soaking it in. And the Pharisees are a little upset because they're no longer at the cool kids table, because they thought they were at the cool kids table because they thought they were the cool kids, and they're realizing they're not. Any cool kids in the room have ever realized that? You thought you were a cool kid? And someone's like, never mind. Yeah, you thought you were a cool kid, and then you realize, oh, I'm actually not the cool kid. But the Pharisees are realizing that, right? And it goes on to this, and we're going to pick up at verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Goes on. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we're dealing with things that are lost. He goes, talks about things that are lost. Have you ever lost anything? I would lose my wallet on a regular basis in college. The words that would come out of my mouth in my dorm when I lost my wallet, I will not say right now. But I used to get so angry. I would lose my wallet every single time, all the time. And I remember my friend, he was also my roommate, he occasionally would lose his wallet. And he would make fun of me because he would stand in the middle of the room when he lost his wallet in our dorm room and he just goes, "God, where is my wallet?" And there it was, like every freaking time. Like, and it made me so mad because I would lose my wallet and I could never find it, and I would try the same thing and I still never found it. But it was hard. But when I did find it, I celebrated. I was so excited. I found my wallet. Or maybe some of you are more serious and you've lost your phone, which is a more serious issue for some of us than our wallet. Who has lost their phone? Yeah, it's okay. Confession time. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't get permission to tell the story. Caleb, can I tell the story about you losing your phone in L.A.? So I don't know if that makes it any better now that I just did it in front of everybody, which probably makes it worse. So I apologize. I'll buy you lunch. Caleb was in college in L.A., and he lost his phone. Panic, right? Borrows his friend's phone, calls me. And I'm like, and at first I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm in Milwaukee. You're in L.A. How am I going to help you find your phone? And then he's much smarter than I when it comes to tech stuff. So he realized I can do the find my iPhone, lock it, make it play a sound, put a message on it. So if anyone finds it, to call me. And then I can actually give him fairly close idea of where it's at. He was able to retrace his steps, get to the location in the mall where he lost the phone. Beeping goes off. Someone actually finds it, calls back. He gets the phone. It was amazing. But all of that was panic mode over the phone. But as the parent, I was super excited that he found the phone so I don't have to buy him a new one, right? So I was very excited about the phone. It was celebration, right? I remember one time I lost my wedding ring. Full-on panic. I lost my wedding ring. We went whitewater rafting, and I went with a bunch of guys, and it was West Virginia, and we put all of these things in a bag in a car, and then we went whitewater rafting. And so I'm, you know, putting my phone and my wallet and everything in this bag, and I swear that I put my wedding ring in the bag. And we go the whole day, we go whitewater rafting. We actually wind up getting a bunch of fights. It wasn't a great trip, but we get back and we're like, we're exhausted and we're a little irritated with each other, the group I went with, and we're looking through the bags and we're getting all of our stuff out, and I can't find my ring. And I am like, Rebecca is gonna kill me. Like, I feel awful. I cannot believe I lost my wedding ring. This is like, I'm like full blown crisis. I'm like, guys, we need to look now. And then like, my one brother-in-law is totally cool. He's like helping me look with a flashlight because it's dark out now. My other brother-in-law, he's like inside. I'm like, I'm done, man. You get out here and you help me look. Like, get out here. What happened with my wedding ring? I gotta buy my wedding ring. He's like, I don't care. Like, it's just a ring, whatever. And I'm just like, we gotta find it. So full-blown panic mode. I mean, we are searching everywhere for hours. Kind of giving up. I've given up, and we're sitting inside, and it wasn't a good day, and we're still arguing, and I'm mad that half of the guys that were there didn't help me look because they were too lazy. But then, like, an hour later, I go to the car, and I'm just going to look one more time. And I look, and I found it. And it was, like, stuck in this little teeny spot where the car seat connects to the car in this little tiny crevice. And there it was. And I came out, like, I found my ring. I was so excited. And nobody cared except for my one brother-in-law was really excited for me. The rest of them didn't even care, but I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic. I remember one time we just got this puppy. We got a pandemic puppy, Sophie, this little pug. We only had her for a couple of weeks. And I remember we were outside or whatever, and all of a sudden we went inside and we realized, where's the dog? We have a dog now. Where is this little cute, fluffy pug? You know, and we couldn't find her. And my family always makes fun of me and says that I'm not the dog person. But my heart was pounding that we lost the... It might have been because the dog's expensive. But I was, either way, I was worried about finding the dog. And I was running all over the place trying to find this dog. And we finally found the dog in the closet, and we all went nuts. We were all like, yes, Sophie's alive! We didn't lose her! We didn't lose her! But when you lose something, it's precious, and you want to find it. When you find it, you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate. There's something that happens, this feeling inside of you that just you're overwhelmed with emotion that this thing happened, that you found this thing, that this thing has been found, and you were part of it, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful, and you want to share that feeling with people. So Jesus tells these two stories about the importance of finding something that's lost. And then he goes on and he tells this third parable, right? This third story. And this is probably the most famous parable of all. And so when I got assigned this text to preach, I'm like, everyone's heard this parable already. What am I? I don't have anything to add. But we're going to do it because I think the Holy Spirit has something that he wants to do today. So the parable of the lost son is next. And we pick up on chapter 11. Everyone loves this, right? Jesus continues. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Okay? Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Here's a son. He had a dad. His dad probably has some money. He has an estate. He has land. Okay, he's a landowner, probably a prestigious man in the community. And he has a son who says, I want mine now. I want, rather than get mine when you die, I want my inheritance now. I want to go live my life the way I want to live it. I want to go do my thing, and that's it. And the dad says, sure, gives him his stuff. He goes, he squanders it all. He loses it all. He had everything. He lost everything. Okay. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went out to his father. So he squanders everything. He realizes he's in crisis and he has a decision to make. He makes a decision and he goes to his father. He's going to make this journey to his father. Realize that his father's servants are better fed than he is. And he's going to go and say, hire me as your servant. This is the best part. I love this part. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Some beautiful picture. That's a beautiful picture. Here, the father is looking for the son. The father has not given up on the son. He's out looking for him. He sees the son before the son sees him. The father runs after the son. Runs after the son. Undignified, just goes after it, right? He's probably dressed in his best robe and everything else, and he doesn't care if his stuff's going to get muddy or whatever, or who sees him run. He is running after the son, and he greets his son. He throws his arms around him. and kisses him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now, these parables, there's a certain form that's happening here. The first, you have lost, found party, right? In the sheep and the coin, something is lost, something is found, and then there's a party. There's a celebration, right? The prodigal son parable, similar, but a little different. Something is lost. There is a crisis decision to be made. And then it is found. And then there's a party. And not only lost, found, but the word has changed a little bit. It's lost, found is, means death to life. Death to life. And then the parable, and then the second part of this parable takes a little bit of a twist. A little bit of twist here. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry. Notice the older brother didn't even go in. He sent somebody in. He didn't even go into the party. He sent someone in. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaying for you and never disobeying your orders. Yet you never gave me even your young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours who was dead is alive again, and he was lost and is found. So in this part, we sort of have the form is lost, found, party. Wait a minute. Really? You're killing the fatted calf? Like, nah, that's not right. I mean, I have slaves. I show up. I am here. I'm here. Never. Never. Wait. Hold on a minute. Like, I am your son. I'm the good guy. I'm the good son. Right? Why are you not throwing me a party ever? I have done a good job. What's going on? But just because you're here doesn't mean you're at the party. Doesn't mean you're at the party. Maybe you've been going to church for years. You've signed up for this and that and joined the hospitality team. No, don't get me wrong, I love the hospitality team, and we need the hospitality team. Not demeaning the hospitality team at all. You hear me, hospitality team? You're the best. But, you know, I'm doing this thing. I'm in a small group. You know, what's this party all about? Like, why don't I get a party? Why don't I get a party? See, the thing is, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees in this story as well, in this parable. And he's trying to catch their ear, even though they're on the other side of the room. And they don't really understand what the party is. And I think it's really important that we understand what the party is. See, Jesus is talking to people who claim to be followers of God. That they are followers of God, that they are trying to live the good life and follow the law. But they're missing the point about what the party is. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand what the party is. See, the party is when pain and suffering, when hurt, brokenness, sorrow, despair, when status and inequality and the unseen and the unheard are turned upside down by the power of the love of God. In that moment when those things are turned upside down, that's the party. That's the party. And you see, both of these sons have to figure that out. Both of these sons have to figure it out. The younger one needs to make a decision, a crisis decision. Do I come home or do I continue to take this other path that is not going very well for me, right? That is not going very well for me. I'm going to make a decision to go home and I'm going to give up the pain and the suffering and my brokenness and all of the damage that I have in my life. I'm going to give all that up to Jesus. And when I do that, there is a party that takes place as I begin to heal. And all that gets flipped. And the older brother, the one that needs to be sort of recognized, he needs to be... He needs to recognize that he needs to be a little bit more like his little brother, right? He needs to be a little bit more like his little brother and come home. I mean, he's home, but he's not home. He's home, but he has to make a decision. Do you want to be in the party? You're home, but do you want to be in the business that your father is in? You're home, but do you want to party? No. But do you want to party? Do you want to actually experience God? And have you forgotten that you once probably did? Right? You once probably did, and you've been hanging out, and you haven't been part of the family business. So all this to say, what does this look like? What does this look like for us, like real time? What are we talking about? Well, for some, it actually is time to make a decision to say, you know what, I've been trying to do this on my own, and I can't. I can't. For some of us in the room or at home, you're finding you're relating a lot to that younger son where you tried to do it on your own, and you just fell miserably. You failed miserably. You can't do it, and you're tired, and you're broken and you're worn down and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn. And you're afraid that if you turn to God, he's going to reject you. But the truth of the matter is this, he's not. He's not. He's not. And he's longing for you to come home and to wrap his arms around you. And he gives you complete grace and mercy and love. And it's in those things that there's a party that takes place. There's transformation that takes place. And so for some of us, it's making that decision. Making that decision to return home and giving those things to the Father, and he flips them. He flips them all. And we can do that today. For some of you, you're saying, hey, I would like to do that today. And during ministry time, we're going to give you an opportunity where you can actually have a conversation with God, and someone will be alongside you and would love to guide you through that, and you can give all of that up. You can give all that up to God, and he will receive you with love and mercy and understanding and grace, and you'll have a party, and you'll have a party. And then how does this look for others? Well, for some of us, it's sort of jumping into the family business again. You probably have experienced that engagement with God at some point in your life where you have given up some of those things to God, and he has flipped them, and he has restored you, and he has healed you, and it has been amazing. And it's time we've forgotten how to engage God in a real practical way where a party happens. It's time to come home and be part of the family business. And what that means is that it's time to start praying for some folks. Like if you've been with God for a while, you're doing the church thing, on the hospitality team, in a small group. When's the last time you prayed for somebody? Like really just prayed for someone, prayed for healing. Started turning things upside down. When's the last time you engaged someone who was unlovable and loved them? When is the last time you heard someone who was unheard or saw someone who was unseen and showed them God's love and mercy and actually did something about it? That's the party, everybody. It's in that moment when the Holy Spirit comes and you engage. That's the party. That's the party. I'm going to tell you, I had a party. I had a party today, or not today, this week. Some of you are going to think this is a really odd story, but some of you know what I do. I work with people experiencing homelessness, and I work on getting them housed. And I had an opportunity this week to engage a gentleman who has some significant health issues, significant mental health issues, is a sex offender, and been living on the street for 6 months. And I had an opportunity to have a party. I got an opportunity to not only pray for this gentleman, but also move him into housing, and he's not on the street. That's a party. That is someone who is unseen, unheard. In some cases, people would think he was unlovable, living on the street poor, and the opportunity to pray for him. And stuff happened when we prayed. It was really cool. And then move him in to housing so he's not on the street. That's a kingdom party. That is the stuff getting flipped on its side. Like, that is like completely upside down. Like, that is a kingdom party. To see someone's like be healed in that moment, to have like an opportunity that they never thought they'd have, to find someone that most people would think is unlovable for the acts that he's done, to see some transformation. Now, I'm not saying he's here today and everything else is great and he's taking communion, woo, and he joined the worship team. No, but there's something beautiful that happened in that moment. Something happened. There was a party happened. There was an engagement that happened with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about. For those of us who have been the older brother, who have been in church and have been doing our thing, we experience the party, and all we're now doing is walking or sitting with God, and we're not moving forward to the next party. Last week I said, it's not about the destination. It's not where you're going, it's where you're going from. It's where you're going from. And so what I mean by that practically is, I experience a party, a transformation in my life with God. And then I walk with God. I walk with the Holy Spirit, left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. I walk with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit shows me where the next party is. And I walk to that next party. And I listen, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do? You want me to pray for this person? I'm going to do that. I'm scared, but I'm going to try to do it. This is crazy. And you do it, and a party happens. And then you walk again, left foot, right foot. Holy Spirit, where's the next party you want me to engage in? And you jump in that one, and it happens. But I think the problem of the older brother is this. It's an episode of being stuck. You're here. You're doing all the right things. You're absorbing things. It's really important. You are learning about God. You're learning about yourself, which is all so good and so needed. But it's not a destination. You're not supposed to get here and stay here. You are supposed to walk with the Holy Spirit and see what's next. See what's next. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you next? Where's the next party breaking out? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're party people. Okay? You're party people. And parties look different for everybody. but we're walking and we're paying attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing and what the Holy Spirit is engaging us to step into next. Make sense? Uh-oh. There was no yes at all.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we stand? We're gonna move towards some more worship and ministry time. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna sing a little bit, like we did in the beginning, and just sort of engage God. But we also have another opportunity to engage God in a different way today, as well, which is prayer. And the way that we do that here is we have a prayer team that's in the back, my left, your right. They're gonna start moving their way back there. But they would love to pray with you. They'll pray with you about anything you want. Whatever you need prayer for today, they would be happy to do that. But there's two specific groups of people I really would encourage you to get prayer today. And that's if maybe you are that younger son and you have never said, man, I can't handle it anymore. I can't carry it. I made a mess. And I need God in my life. I need to get right. And I don't know how to do that. And so our prayer team would love to help you with that. And you'll have a party. And then the second group is the older brother. You're walking with God, left foot, right foot. And as I was thinking about it, it's almost like you have blinders on. During worship, I thought about this. It's almost like you have blinders on. You're walking with God, but you're sort of seeing what you want to see, feeling pretty safe in your walk with God. And he wants to invite you today to take the blinders off. Take the blinders off, because he wants to point out some places for you to engage and start a party. But you got to take the blinders off and allow him to direct you. Because if you do it in your own power, it's not gonna work. It might be a good deed, a good thing, but it's not a kingdom party. And he's inviting you to a kingdom party. So the Holy Spirit needs to direct you for that. So those people, if that's resonating with you, I'd love for you to get prayer as well. Like that God would just break, we want to break off the blinders, and we want to ask God to just move and direct you. Direct you where your next steps are. All right? I'm going to be back there too to pray for you. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.